Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 67 of Nerd Pride Radio. 67, the prank caller's best friend. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's probably like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my noggin anymore. Oh, my co-host this week is this cross-eyed bear that you gave to me. All right, straight into the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. Every show is divided into two parts, one for me and one for you. So this is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and then the best stuff off that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, right in that master list, updates. My weight, oh my god, I'm down 20 pounds total now. So I'm at 254. Again, and so I've lost, like, you know, 4 pounds in the last week. Why? Because I started eating the beef and barley soup again this week. I mean, I've had it in the freezer. I told you guys I was making a batch. I made a batch. There it is. And this week, like three times for lunch this week, I've brought beef and barley soup with me, and magically, weight loss. I gotta remember to do this every day. I mean, the problem is, you know, we have leftovers in the fridge. We got leftover ribs and spaghetti and some beef stroganoff casserole. That's awesome. But I have foregone all of that in favor of my beef barley soup for lunch, and wow, it is awesome. And lest you worry that those leftovers are all going to go to waste, I have teenagers in the house. I'm fine. It's all going to get used up. So the other update that I have is Mrs. Darks apparently has gotten back to – she's probably back into the 30s now for episodes. She's been listening to Nerd Pride Radio backwards, and – has received messages from Satan. So, no, she's gotten to episode 48 as of the last time she notified me. And in episode 48, I got the question of what do we call the fans of Nerd Pride Radio? And are we Nerdarians? Are we, you know, whatever? And she said, well, duh, you call them the Nerd Pride. I'm like, oh, of course we do. Oh, that's brilliant. So that is, I mean, not that you guys have been clamoring for a name for yourselves, but if you want to call yourselves the Nerd Pride, I am A-okay with that, especially since it was fan-generated. That makes it even better. So congratulations, Mrs. Darks. That was awesome. But that's enough of my updates. Next, it's the Unnamed History segment.
Don't know much about history.
Of course it is. And all I'm going to talk about this time is the dollop. If you have not listened to the dollop podcast, I recommend it. It's no hardcore history, but it is history. And the dollop is comedian Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds is the guy who's on with him. Dave Anthony, you might recall, might not. Dave Anthony was half of the Walking the Room podcast, which I have always been a huge fan of. Well, apparently Walking the Room is no more. They've gone their separate ways, and it sounds like there's kind of hard feelings there. That's too bad. But Dave Anthony has, for the last year or so, been working on The Dollop, and what he does every week on The Dollop is Dave comes with a history story, and it's always some really messed up story from American history. A lot of them are recent. I mean, you know, stuff from the 70s, 80s, 90s. Some of it is much older than that. But it's always just a really messed up story. And the whole point of it is Dave has a prepared history that he reads off. And as he's reading through it, Gareth has no clue what's happening. He has no idea what the story is going to be this week. So he is reacting as the audience, and it's always messed up, and there's always a horrible twist in it, and there's always terrible things happening. And then the two of them make a lot of jokes about it and go back and forth. And so, for example, one of the better ones recently was, what was the name of it? The Willie D. And the Willie D is, and I'm just going to give this away just as a teaser for you, but the Willie D is the story of a World War II destroyer that was on an escort mission and accidentally fired a torpedo at the President of the United States. Brilliant. And all sorts of comedy ensues with this story and how they present it and deal with it. And there's a bunch. I mean, that's just the apex moment of the Willie D's career. The Willie D, and it's the William D something, right? It's anyway, it's got a full name, but it was just called the Willie D. But it's got this whole story, and it's just this string of comedy of error stuff before and after accidentally firing a torpedo at the President. And it's just hysterical, and it's a lot of fun. And so check them out. Go look up the Dollop podcast and check them out. It's fun stuff. I mean, one of them is the history of Rainbow Man, the dude that wears the rainbow wigs, or used to wears the rainbow wigs at sporting events and holds up the John 3:16 sign. It's the history of Rainbow Man. It's fascinating. So, and there, I'm not saying that there's really necessarily 100% accurate history going on. This is them presenting it as people who know very little about history in general. They're reading the story. They're commenting on it. Sometimes they display a clear lack of understanding of the what's and whys, but it doesn't matter because they're making it funny and it's entertaining and it's interesting. So check out the Dollop. If you like comedy, or if you like history, or if you just trust my opinion on stuff, go listen to the Dollop. It's worth your time. And that brings me to my gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, card games, if it fits on my gaming table, then I'm here to share it with you. Does it sound like I'm moving a little fast today? I'm kind of pressed for time. But I've got so much to get in here. This is the thing, is I'm looking at like, you know, an hour, hour 15, like I usually do. But I have got so much stuff on this list. And so I feel like I'm rushing, but whatever. We'll get through it all. I got two things on my gaming table today. The first, it's Deadpool time, people. For once, I am going to remember to mention the Deadpool to you guys before it's time to actually sign up for the Deadpool. This is your warning. This is your 2-month warning, and you're going to need that because it's not like it's a lot of intensive work, but you just need to think about it. You need to think about it, and I'll try and keep reminding you guys, and then come Christmas holidays, be ready with a list, all right? The Nerd Pride Radio Deadpool, we're in our, I don't know, this is going to be our 9th year coming up, 10th year. I don't know how long we've been doing this, a long time. And it is like a lot of other Deadpools. The whole point of a Deadpool is you, as a player, pick out a list of 10 people who you think are going to die that year, during the calendar year 2015 coming up. And if people off of your list die during the course of the year, then you get points for them. And the younger they are, the more points you get. The more people that die off of your list, the more bonus points you get. And whoever's got the most points at the end of the year gets to declare themselves the winner and rub everyone else's noses in it. And this year, it looks like, for 2014, it looks like my wife is going to pull it out again. She just had Marcia Strassman die. Marcia Strassman, who was Julie Cotter from the Welcome Back, Cotter TV series. Yeah, she's had cancer for a while. She's been on lists. My wife initially picked her up a couple years ago, and then Kyle stole her away the next year. And now my wife has her again this year, and Marcia Strassman just passed away. So my wife is now at like 72 points for the year. Killing it. No pun intended. And as I've mentioned before, every time I bring up the Deadpool, I know if you've never participated in one before, you're sitting there thinking that we are being really morbid, that you're betting on people dying. That's terrible. You guys are terrible people. No. Well, yes, we probably are, but that's not the point. The point is it's a lot of fun, and there's no one getting hurt. It is you make up your list. And actually, we do a draft system. So you actually wind up with a list of 30 or 40 people, and they have to be celebrities, have to be famous, and we have certain criteria, and we're weird about it, but have to be famous people. And you come up with 30 or 40, and everyone submits their lists in the order that they think, you know, that they want to draft. All right. And so then we just go, you know, I pick all the lists and I run through them one at a time. And okay, you get the first person off your list. You get the first person off your list. You get the first person off your list. And then if it happens to be that that one's already picked, then I just move down to your next choice. And then that way we have no overlap. When someone dies in our Deadpool, and we usually have anywhere from, you know, 5 to 12 players. If someone dies in our Deadpool, there's only one person getting points for that. That's unusual among Deadpools because most Deadpools, I mean, when you see the big ones online, they're usually, you know, thousands of people participating. There's no way you can do it without overlap. But ours, we do. One day, I would dream of us being popular enough one day that we've got 50 people wanting to be in our Deadpool and we can no longer run a draft system. That would be kind of cool. But for right now, we've got few enough people that we can pull this off. So if you're interested, come up with a list of 30 or 40 celebrities that you think are going to die in 2015 and submit them to me. I'll be posting up the rules in the Nerds Playing Games sections of my forums. And usually the deadline is Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day after my kids have opened all their gifts and everyone's gone off to stuff themselves with candy and play with all their new toys and whatnot. Then I'll take an hour to sit down and compile the draft lists and post everything up. And then that gives us a week to sort of approve everyone's choices and this kind of stuff. I can't remember the exact rules. Psst, I'll post them up. You'll see them. But come and join us because it's a ton of fun. It is super low investment. It's really literally you are going to spend all year thinking about, oh, hey, that person's got cancer. Oh, wait. Oh, they've been sick. Oh, are they in rehab again? Wow. And you'll think about it. And it's a little bit morbid, but you'll be thinking about it. And then come around Thanksgiving to Christmas, somewhere in there, you will sit down and you'll spend an hour putting your list together. That's your whole investment. And then after you've put in your 1 hour investment and you give the list to me, then the rest of it is a year of getting to watch people die. And every time someone dies, oh my God, did someone have them? Did someone have them? Really? All right, cool. And then we go cross that off and we add up some points. And it's, so like I say, low investment, long payoff. Really, really worth your time. And if you, even if you don't play this year, this is what happens to everybody. Even if you don't play, you're not going to be able to stop thinking about it. And now I have no less than 5 people who don't play in any Deadpool, but every time someone famous dies, they have to come to me. They have to come in. Oh, did you hear that this so-and-so died? Yeah, we heard. Well, did anyone have him? No one did. And then every time they're like, well, how could no one have picked that person? How could? Yeah, well, because you only get 10 and, you know, there's a lot of prioritizing and there's that. But yeah, if you think you can do better, jump in with us. We would love to have you. So anyway, come check out the forums. Go to nerdprideradio.com/forums and go to the Nerds Playing Games section and look at Nerd Pride Deadpool 2014 to see this year's stuff. And then hopefully in the next couple of days, I'll post up Nerd Pride Deadpool 2015 and we'll start getting things together for people to start submitting lists for that one. It'll be awesome. But that's only the first thing on my gaming table. The second thing is Pathfinder again. We played the other night and we're still in the haunted house and I still have a 5 wisdom. Wisdom 5. And it's been spectacular. There's no combat. This is 2 sessions in a row. No fighting, no combat. We've made a few rolls, but mostly because we're tackling each other. And it's been incredible. The last session, we're in the haunted house, and Jeff's character, Halifax, the Man Mountain, as we call him, he is a hand-to-hand combatant. He's a pro wrestler. He's gigantic, and he's good at what he does. And he freaks out a few times in this episode, and he winds up being convinced that he's on fire. And so therefore, being on fire, he decides his best course of action, and he's not really on fire. It's a haunted house. It's all in his head, just like the mold growing on my arms is all in my head. Thank you for the magic gloves, Eli. I appreciate that. And so thinking that he's on fire, he barrels for the window. He is going to leap out the window. I don't know if he thinks he's going to protect everybody else. I don't know if he's aiming for the water down below, but we're on the 3rd floor of the house. And that's not even the biggest factor. It's the 3rd floor of the house overlooking a 300-foot cliff down to the water below. That's what he's diving for. And so when the Man Mountain comes barreling by and he's clearly headed for leaping out the window screaming, with my wisdom 5, I decided that as the 100-pound bard, my best course of action was to try and tackle him and stop him. Which, fortunately, I have absolutely... I've got a strength of 8. I have no attack bonus whatsoever. I've got nothing, and he's a pro wrestler. There's no way I'm going to get him until I roll a 19. 18? What did I roll? It was big, and it was enough that I got a hold of him. Oh, my God, are you kidding me? So I'm now... It doesn't slow him down. It doesn't stop him, but I'm riding his back as he's going to go barreling out the window. This all still seems like a good idea to me. So Eliahad decides, well, I'll get in his way. I'll see if I can divert him. He's the halfling. He's just on size bonuses alone, he's completely screwed here. But he's going to give it his best shot. So it's the 100-pound bard and the halfling are both trying to divert the Man Mountain. Both of us trying to stop him from killing himself here. Everybody else, oh, God, sorry I'm so far away. Wow, oh, man, I wish I was closer. This is just too bad. And I grant all of you really were too far away. Except we had someone standing just close enough to lean in and actually had a feather fall ready and actually tapped him just before he hits the window, taps him, feather fall. You're kidding with me. We could not have been luckier. And fortunately, I got knocked off anyway, so I wound up falling to the floor. Halfling completely fails and is totally shoved aside as the Man Mountain overruns him. And then the Man Mountain leaps out the window, and with his feather fall, he just gently floats down to the lower roof down there. Thank God. He could have overshot and he could have wound up, feather falling the entire 300 feet down in the water. That would have been fine too. We would have found a way to get him out, but at least he wasn't going to die. It was spectacular. We had so much fun. It was really, really cool. And now, we're facing the undead who we believe is in control of this house and is responsible for everything that we're seeing here. We think, but it's hard to know. And then that's where we cliffhanger and we're all done. So we'll come back in a week. We're only waiting a week this time. We're going to come back and play again next week. And I can't wait. But here's the deal. I told you that this is an awesome group for me. This is an awesome experience for me because I'm playing with a group of adults. I'm playing with a bunch of mature role players who are interested in telling a story, interested in having a good time, interested in making this live for us. And what we discovered when we were playing, this was Wednesday night that we were playing, what we discovered is someone pointed out that we've been doing it for a year. Do you guys realize that? This is amazing. It's been almost a year. It'll be November 15th will be 1 year. We've played 29 sessions. We've actually showed up. I kept this thing going for a year. That is unreal, especially for an online game. I can't tell you how happy that makes me. The idea that it's gotten to the point where I show up for this game, I prepare for this game, I do, I keep looking at my character wistfully, dreaming of all the stuff I'm going to get when I hit 5th level, 6th level, 8th level, 12th level. I'm so looking forward to stuff, and I can actually do that. The point is, I'm in a position for the first time ever as a player and for the first time in a long time as a gamer in general, in any role, I'm in a position where I can look forward to 7th level or 8th level or 10th level and think that, yeah, you know what? We're going to get there. We will get there eventually. It's really going to happen because we keep showing up every week. As long as Darks doesn't die of a heart attack on us, he's a busy dude. He has kids, he has a new baby, and yet he's still committed to being there with us every time. And we're so happy. Thank you, Darks. It's just, and this is just me bragging and rubbing it into all of those of you who, I guess, don't have a current gaming session going on and feel kind of bad about that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be mean about it. I'm just saying I'm so happy. I love role-playing games. I love Pathfinder, and I certainly love this campaign. It's just, I don't have a point to make other than I'm just so happy to have a permanent group, or at least something that feels permanent right now. Grateful that it's happening. All right, enough of me gushing on. Let's move on to Roku! Oh, this is Roku is the box that I use for my streaming services. We watch YouTube and Netflix and Amazon Prime and whatever else on it. Roku is the primary source of television in this house. And I love that. And I got to tell you, if you haven't watched BoJack Horseman, go watch BoJack Horseman. It is, I saw the ads for it and I thought, yeah, it's a cartoon about an animated series, however you want to say it. It is a Netflix original. It is about a horse who was the star of a 90s sitcom and now is kind of a washed up actor. There you go. And in the world of BoJack Horseman, there are actually lots of anthropomorphic animals walking around. His agent is a cat, and his publisher over at Penguin Books is a penguin, played by Patton Oswalt. And it's a cute premise. BoJack Horseman was the star of a 90s sitcom called Horsin' Around, which is very much clearly, it's very much a Full House style setup. And now he's a washed up actor and he's a bad person and he drinks and does drugs and he's horribly selfish and he's cruel to everybody around him. And okay. So what we have is a bad person starring in the show, and you watch the first episode and you think, okay, I get the joke, but it's kind of a one trick pony, so to speak. And is it going to be a one trick pony? I think is actually the name of his ghostwritten autobiography. And so I didn't think a lot of it after the first episode. I thought, okay, I get the premise, but, can I really take these jokes for a full 12 episodes? This is, it's going to wear thin after a while. You've seen shows about bad characters. You've seen animated series where surprising characters say horrible, horrible things all the time, whatever. This is nothing new. But after I saw the first episode, I was sick Monday and Tuesday, really sick. I'm finally feeling better. And so I was watching it and I thought, one episode doesn't tell me anything. I need to watch a second and just make sure that this is really what it is. And after the second episode, I was intrigued enough that I was like, oh, okay, that's not doing what I thought it was going to do. All right, I'll pay attention. By the third episode, totally hooked. I watched all 12 episodes literally in the 2 days I was homesick, all 12 episodes. It's essentially you're watching a 3.5 hour movie is what you're doing. And it had a direction, and it had a purpose, and it had a message, and it was really, really enjoyable. And towards the end, you're realizing that, okay, the jokes are funny, there's cute stuff in it, but I wasn't watching it for the jokes anymore. I was watching it for the story, and I thought it was great. What it reminded me of is once I realized that I'm not watching it for the humor anymore, that I actually care about the characters and I'm actually watching because I want to see what they do next. It was a lot like, not that this show is in any way similar to Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist, but that experience for me was like watching Dr. Katz. I had seen Dr. Katz enough. Did you ever watch Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist? It's Jonathan Katz playing a psychiatrist, and all of his clients are stand-up comedians who are coming in, and basically as they're recounting their problems, they're really just doing their stand-up act. And it was on back when I was working as a social worker. I would come home for lunch, I would watch The Daily Show, and I would watch Dr. Katz. And Dr. Katz, I only watched it because it happened to be on while I was at home over lunch, and I kind of liked the stand-up, but most of it was stand-up stuff I'd seen before, and it was being presented in a really low-key sort of way, and I realized, it wasn't my favorite show, but, I like stand-up. I'll watch. And then somewhere after, I don't even know how long, a few months of catching these episodes over lunch every now and then, it suddenly clicked with me that it's not about the comedy. It wasn't about the stand-ups. In fact, I could care less who was on the couch that week. It was the interstitial stuff. It was Dr. Katz and his son and his secretary, Laura. And it was the interactions of the three of them and the stories that they told. And so essentially each episode was really like 8 minutes worth of their story filled in with a whole bunch of stand-up comedy. And I realized that I was just tolerating the stand-up comedy because I really wanted to see what the characters did each time, because that's where the humor was. And it was brilliant. And anyway, I don't know if that really ties to BoJack Horseman. I'm just reminded of it. But BoJack Horseman, Will Arnett stars as BoJack Horseman. Amy Sedaris, who is always hysterical, plays his agent. Alison Brie is the ghostwriter. Who else is in there? Patton Oswalt shows up. And I have a list of them. I should just read them off. Paul F. Tompkins. Stephen Colbert makes a few appearances. There's a bunch of others. If you're into voice work, you'll recognize a ton of these people. And it's just – it's solid entertainment. I really like it. And I went out and I checked out Metacritic to see – hold on a second. I got to take a break for a drink here. I went to Metacritic to see what other people thought of BoJack Horseman. And the reviews on Metacritic are really mediocre. And I was kind of disappointed. I was kind of surprised. I mean, I expect some of that because it's a crude cartoon. And I can see where it wouldn't appeal to some people, but I was like, God, more people than this had to get this show. You know what I mean? And so I started reading some of the negative reviews, and I realized that most of the people who gave negative reviews to it only watched the first episode. They pretended they didn't. They would say things about later in the series, blah, 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 blah. But then as you read the review, you realize every example that they're giving of things that happened, every example, everything that they give to illustrate their points are all events that happened in just the first episode. It was not, lame. That's why you can't trust people. So here they are pretending they're smart, pretending they've watched the entire series, but no, they watched the first episode, maybe half of the second, and then decided that that's enough for a review because they have to crank out a review. They don't have 3.5 hours to spend on something that they've already decided is crap. Give it 2 episodes. Give it 2 episodes, and if you're not at least a little intrigued, then okay, I was wrong. Walk away. It's not for you. That's fine. But if you get 2-3 episodes in and you've got the same reaction I do, you'll thank me for it. BoJack is really cool. So that's my Roku. And now it's time for a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are so close. Turns out I got Paul Harvey'd by National Public Radio, the other NPR. When I say Paul Harvey'd, did you ever listen to Paul Harvey? And the rest of the story, and Paul Harvey did his rest of the story was sometimes interesting, but very, very stilted and very, he had a very patriotic bent to him that colored his presentation of the news. But Paul Harvey did like a 15 or 20 minute news thing every morning. And so on the drive to work, I got Paul Harvey a lot. And hold on just a second. My battery is just about to die. I should plug in. Give me a second. That's better. And during his news segments, Paul Harvey, every single day, would have at least one, because he's trying to do a lot of news in just a short amount of time, and he would have at least one, but usually several, where he would give you a fascinating headline. Unbelievable headline. You're like, wow, I really need to know what that's about. And then he'd just move on. He'd give you a headline, no detail, no explanation, no anything. And now you're just left hanging. Was there a point? It was infuriating. And so I'm listening to National Public Radio. I'm listening to Morning Edition. National Public Radio, a trusted news source for me. I love National Public Radio. I love Morning Edition. I like their news because it's not commercial news. It's not someone who's trying to make a buck by pulling in the listeners with their sensationalist headlines and this kind of stuff. I mean, there's some of that because NPR still has to have funding and they still have to get sponsors. And but it's to me, it's like listening to BBC Radio. It's like it's something that I know is not your typical sensationalist American slant on the news. And I like that. I like Morning Edition. So I'm listening to them, and they start in with a headline about how Marvel has now announced its movie schedule up through like 2020 for superhero movies. Spectacular. And in addition, included on this is going to be they're increasing the diversity of their offerings with the featuring a black superhero, which turns out to be Black Panther, and a female superhero in a solo movie. That's it. Then they stopped. I'm like, you can't, wait a minute. That's all the detail you're going to give me? They announced their movies. Here's how many they're going to have. Oh yeah, there's Black Panther and there'll be one about a woman. Done. You can't, that is not what I expect from Morning Edition. I expected at least a 5 minute piece of them explaining these things or a 2 minute piece, something. No, they gave me a headline and they walked the hell away. You can't do that. I mean, I sat there listening because they started playing some dramatic Spider-Man-esque music. And so I'm listening to the music thinking, okay, they're going to give me like a 15-second music interlude, and then they're going to come back and explain the rest of the story. And then the music kept going. And after a minute and a half, I realized, oh, no, they're just giving me musical interlude until the next segment loads up. God damn it. And sure enough, yeah, they gave me a minute and a half of music, and then nothing. That was a minute and a half of music that they could have been explaining things to me. Oh, I was so infuriated. So I, of course, now have to go look it up, because the big thing I was wondering about is, when they say a movie with a female lead superhero, my first thought is, oh, do they mean they finally listen to their fans and they're going to give us the Captain Marvel movie? Or does it mean that, oh, this is just, yeah, they're bringing back the idea of doing a Black Widow solo movie, which is not nearly as exciting. Because, I mean, Black Widow's a fascinating character, but she's really so far been mostly about Scarlett Johansson's boobs and ass, and that's not a whole superhero story. Captain Marvel, if you've read any of the stuff online, much more fascinating story. A strong, independent woman not tied to or beholden to some other organization or some male superhero or nothing. She stands alone and she's strong and powerful and a good representation of what a female superhero should be. And so I go do the research, and it turns out it is Captain Marvel. I don't have any other detail about it. I don't know who's going to star in it. I don't know what's going on. But I know that it's supposed to be a Captain Marvel movie, but it's also supposed to be 2018. So, you know what? Things change all the time. Who knows what's really going to happen? It turns out that when I did the looking for – oh, I didn't put the whole list in here. Why did I not copy the list in the notes? I had the whole list. I finally found a site that had all of Marvel's stuff. And, oh, in the meantime, not only did it have Marvel stuff, but it had the DC movie schedule, the Fox movie schedule to give us all the, Fantastic Four and X-Men stuff, the Sony movie schedule to give us all of the Spider-Man stuff. And so, okay, so we get Captain Marvel. We get Captain America's next movie is Captain America Civil War. We all knew that was coming already. I don't know how they're going to do that. I mean, is it really just an Avengers, you know, like an Avengers 3.5? I don't know what they're going to do, because Civil War, the original story, involves lots of different heroes being a part of this, and the only established ones we have really are the ones that are in the Avengers pantheon. So I don't know quite how they're going to work out Civil War, but I'm interested to see. They got three upcoming Avengers movies. We've got Age of Ultron, obviously, and then two of them, Infinity War, or what? I don't remember what it is, but it's part one and part two. It's going to be a two-parter. Spectacular. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is coming up. You know I'm going to love that. DC's, I'm not as excited. DC, okay, great. So it's all Justice League stuff, really. It's Justice League. It's going to be a Wonder Woman movie. It's going to be a Justice League movie. It's going to be an Aquaman movie. Okay, I'll go for that one. And you know why I want to go for Aquaman? I just want to see what they do with it. I so hope they make Aquaman a cool hero. I hope they can do for Aquaman what Favreau did for Iron Man. Iron Man was a nobody until that movie. And then suddenly, Iron Man, the first Iron Man movie, was the first true comic book movie in this modern era. And it was amazing. And I'm hoping that Aquaman can get some of the same treatment, because who are they making as Aquaman? Jason friggin' Momoa. Ugh, Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones. That's bad ass. I really want to see what they do with Aquaman. I'm excited about that. The one interesting thing that DC is doing, though, is the Suicide Squad. I'm interested. Suicide Squad is supervillains. I was going to say former supervillains, but technically they're still supervillains. But supervillains who are forced to work for the government as heroes, and forced by having bombs implanted in them that if they disobey, essentially their heads will explode and they'll die. So they are being forced, supervillains who are being forced to work as heroes under threat of death. That's dark and twisted and funny and has a lot of possibility. I'm excited to see what they do with it. I think they're looking for Suicide Squad to be their Guardians of the Galaxy. They want to come out of left field with this and really surprise everybody. I hope it works for them. I would love to see that happen. It would be great. I would love for all of these movies to be good, but they're not going to be. But Suicide Squad, the one downfall I see as a possibility is that Harley Quinn has at times been a member of the Suicide Squad, and I feel like fan pressure, fan service is going to make them feel obligated to put Harley in because it'll be a big draw. And giving it that instant Batman tie-in, that Joker tie-in, making Harley, I feel like she'll wind up being the center of this movie. And Suicide Squad is more interesting than that. You know what I mean? Well, but we'll see. Who knows? As far as the other two studios who are just pissing me off by clinging to these properties for the rest of their lives, Fox is going to make yet another Fantastic Four movie, and it's going to be yet another piece of crap because they yet again don't want to lose their rights to it, so they got to crank one out every decade. Whatever. Just do it. Just make your piddly money and keep your rights and keep us from having a decent Fantastic Four movie, if such a thing is possible. I don't even know if it's possible to make a good Fantastic Four movie, but if it is, it's not going to be them that does it. But they will. They will give us more X-Men. They're going to give us another X-Men movie in this trilogy of the new stuff. So I'm excited to see what they do. The last two were really good. I hope they can keep up that level. But part three of superhero series tend to be your downfall. So we'll see what happens. They're going to be another Wolverine sequel. I didn't even see the last Wolverine movie. And I heard it was pretty good. Still haven't seen it. But Sony, I think, is the most desperate. I think they're going to do a Spider-Man 3 again, an amazing Spider-Man 3. So it'll be our second Spider-Man 3 that we've had. And they're going to do – they have a slot reserved for their unnamed female Spider-Man spinoff. So a female hero who is part of the Spider-Man universe, meaning they have rights to it, and will get her own movie. Who knows what that's going to be? Is that going to be a Spider-Woman? Is she actually tied to Spider-Man? I mean, is there a connection there that is strong enough that Sony would acquire the rights to that? Or are we talking about doing Black Cat? Are we talking about... I don't know. I have no idea. They're going to do Venom and Carnage, possible crossover movie. Maybe not crossover, but possible Venom-Carnage movie. But I think that one's off the table. They're going to do the Sinister Six, which they were already setting up for us in Amazing Spider-Man 2. I'm not excited about that one, but who knows. Upshot of all of this, what does all of this mean for us, the viewers? It means that we're going to get something like 20... This is just the announced movies. If things go well in the next couple of years, they'll have even more. So we've got 20 to 25 superhero movies coming over the next 5 years. That's a phenomenal amount of movies. And it means that we're going to be way oversaturated and people are going to start getting tired of it. If they haven't already, which, you know, box office says they haven't. I certainly haven't yet, but it's got to be coming. But it also means that I can't watch all of them. I can't. I've seen, you know, there's already, like, the last Wolverine movie. There's already some of them that I haven't seen. I haven't even watched them on video. I haven't even bothered. Captain America Winter Soldier. I've got it sitting up here from Netflix. I've had it on my shelf. The disc is sitting there for the last 3 weeks. I haven't watched it yet because I just don't have time. I mean, I want to see it. I hear it's great. I just haven't had time. And so, ultimately, it means we're going to have to choose sides, sadly. I mean, it's going to feel just like being a kid again, back when comic books had so many crossovers and so many tie-ins that really I had to pick my battles. And I loved my X-Men, so I read X-Men and X-Men-related titles and anything that did crossovers with them. And I was a Marvel guy. I was always a Marvel guy growing up because DC did some great things. I'm sure they did, but I didn't have time. I had to pick where my loyalties were going to lie because I wanted to keep up with at least something, and it was Marvel. And so it looks like that's what's going to happen here. That, you know, maybe I'll catch them on video, but even catching them on video, you know, if I watch 5 or 6 of these in the theater, that'll be awesome. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. I just want all of them to be good. I really do. And I know that with this many coming out, there's got to be a lot of them that suck, and that's going to be too bad. I don't want to get to the point where people, because right now, something comes out from Marvel, the world is excited. There's some cynics out there, and yes, Marvel has had some missteps, but if something comes out from Marvel, we're all excited, and it's going to be good. We know it's going to be good because we trust them. But with this kind of release schedule, eventually it's going to get to the point where it's like, maybe, I don't know, hit or miss. I'll wait for the reviews to come out. We'll see. So who knows? Oh, well, Aquaman. There you go. And last off in the meticulously applied portion of this podcast, I want to do a little bit of cleanup. My pocket mod is completely full, and therefore I need to replace it. Even my little podcast page is completely filled up, and I don't have any room to add any more stuff. All the other pages have been used up making camping lists and shopping lists and inventory stuff at work that I don't want to forget. And so I need a new pocket mod. I've got the new pocket mod made, but to transfer stuff over, I realized I started transferring stuff from the from the podcast list, stuff off my master list, and I wanted to move it over, and I realized I have a lot of stuff on the master list now that has built up that it's just going to sit there. It's been sitting there for weeks. And every time I get a new pocket mod, I transfer this stuff over to the new one, and then I still never use it. So I can't just throw them away. I can't just cross them off and forget about them. So here's my cleanup. I'm going to get these out of the way so that I don't need to transfer them over and I don't need to think about them anymore. Here we go. Number one, Swarm Robotics. Swarm Robotics is the idea that you have a bunch of robots, usually little ones when they do the experiments with them, but you have a bunch of robots, and each robot is extremely simple. Each one has a set of, you know, three basic commands or six basic commands. And if you lay out 100 robots on an open field, and they all have these same six simple commands, and then you let them go, how do they organize themselves? You know, their commands are simple, that if I see a wall, I turn this way. Or if I run into somebody who's in this mode, then I lock onto them with this mode. Real simple stuff. And what they wind up doing is by giving very, very simple commands across these robots, they can come up with some really, really complex behavior, which ties into the insect world with insects like ants and bees, these hive insects with extremely complex social behaviors coming out of brains that literally can't have, I can't say literally, but brains that can't have more than, you know, eight neurons sitting in there to process stuff. I mean, this is really, really complex behaviors out of a bunch of really simple individuals whose interactions form a more complex organism. And I found Swarm Robotics fascinating. I had some articles looked up for it, but it was never quite enough. I wound up, one of my kids was asking me about it, so we did the research, and I was explaining to them how Swarm Robotics works, and it was fascinating, but never quite enough to make a whole science corner about it. So there, Swarm Robotics. I'm done with that one. Crossed off the list. Next, the universe. And I have universe every time. This is the third pocket mod that I've had the universe listed on, and every time universe is in all capital letters. And I only vaguely remember what it's about, and this is the thing, I did a bunch of reading on it and I was fascinated, and it turns out that now I've had it set aside long enough that to bring it back I would have to redo all of my research, and I don't even know if I can find all of it anymore because I didn't bother to bookmark it. I was so excited about it, I put it on my list. I thought I'd talk about it within a couple of weeks, and then I never got to it. And the point of it was the idea that some of the constants of our universe, such as the, I can't even remember which constants they were, the cosmological constant, the electrical charge of an electron, there were certain cosmological constants of our universe that make our universe look and act the way it does. That the reason physics is the way it is because of, in part at least, because of some of these real base numbers that we don't know why those numbers are where they are, but the fact that they are where they are means everything works. And we had some experiments that have been confirmed and give evidence that maybe these constants aren't constant, like even within our universe, that the idea that light years from here, I mean light centuries, light millennia from here, that as you move in one direction in our universe, you look out that way, and we have evidence that that particular constant is slightly more out in that direction, and if we look the other way, it's slightly less in that direction. So it's not just an artifact of the distance from us and thus the period of time that it is, or the rate of expansion of the universe or anything like that. No, it's actually different depending on which direction you travel in, and that I don't even know what the implications of that are. So if anyone else wants to do some research on it, or if anyone else wants to present some information, start a thread on the forums, talk about it, I would be happy to pitch in and discuss it with you. I just don't have the energy right now to do it all by myself. I did it once and loved it, and it was inspiring in the idea that it was one of those things that tells me that the universe doesn't quite operate the way we thought it did. And I don't know. There's something overwhelming about it. And now it's all just kind of, it's just a half remembered sort of thing now. And so therefore it's just been sitting on the master list. It's not going anywhere. So cross it off. We're done. Next one. I can't even pronounce it. Feminism in gaming. I told you guys I was going to keep this on the list. I'm not going to keep it on the list. I'm done. And not that I'm done with feminism. I consider myself a feminist, but as a dude who is not particularly active other than I like to speak about stuff on my podcast, and that's my activism. I like to share my opinions with people I know. That's my activism. It feels kind of, I don't know, self-serving to refer to myself as a feminist. It feels kind of, it's weird, but I am a feminist. I think that this world is incredibly unfair in a lot of ways. And there's a lot of injustice that needs to be addressed, and a lot of issues going on. But there's been so much commentary on it that I don't feel that I have anything productive to add to the discussion at this moment, other than just parroting things that other people say. I mean, go look up Felicia Day, look up Chris Crew, look up people who have been at the center of the Gamergate scandal, if that's what you want to call it. Look at, there's lots of people who are speaking about it, and if you follow the train, you're going to find all sorts of articles and all sorts of information, and there's lots of stuff out there. I don't feel qualified to add to it right this moment. It's always at the back of my head, and I'm sure it's going to come up eventually again, but I'm going to cross it off the list officially because there's no reason for me to put it there. There's no reason for me to go seeking out, feminism in gaming is on my list. I better go find something that I can talk about. That's not genuine. So, crossed off the list. Death is on my list. I'm going to keep this one. I talked about my client Jim, who died many years ago, and I talked about being there with him when he died, and it just got me to thinking that after I re-listened to that podcast, I got to thinking about death in general and my experience with it. I was very late to the game in dealing with death in my own life. I had a couple people die early, my grandfather, my great-grandmother, but that happened when I was 7, 8 years old, too young to really process a lot of it, and then never really dealt with anything after that. And I'm going to leave it on the list. This may be one that I just cross off later, but just interesting thoughts about death and interesting personal experiences with death, and something that I might keep. That one I'm going to keep on the list. I'll move that one over. Leadership is on my master list, and I don't know why I wrote that word down. I honestly have no clue what was going through my head when I wrote that down. It's right between death and something else that I've already done on the podcast. I can't remember what was going on. I don't know why I have it here. I'm crossing it off. It's done. And last of all, Gone Girl. Gone Girl is on my list, and I'm not going to actually do it because I realize you can go read reviews if you want to read reviews. There's not a whole lot for me to say about Gone Girl other than I really like this movie. It was really well done. David Fincher did an excellent job directing this movie. The acting was superb. The tension in it was, for a movie that's not a horror movie, it scared the pants off of me at sections, and you will know exactly what I'm talking about. There were moments of pure abject terror as I am so scared of what's going to happen next. I can't tell you anything else. If you don't already know the plot of this movie, I hope you don't. Just go watch Gone Girl. It was really, really good. Really well done. And even if you don't enjoy it, you will get enough out of it that you'll be glad you watched it. Because it's a good movie. It really is. So there, go watch Gone Girl. I'm not going to do a full science fiction double feature about this one. I'm just going to tell you to go watch it. There, crossed it off the list. Oh, there's nothing left on my master list except for the word death. There we go. I can start off clean for next week. We are good to go. And that is the end of the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, which brings me straight to the pod-o-matic. Holy blueberries! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Then you send your question or topic to me by email, or, better yet, in a private message on my forums. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And this week I got another dozen from Humongous. Thank you, Humongous. You guys are just, like I say, every week I get just enough to keep the list going. So you guys are really helping me out here. This is beautiful. Our first number is 53. And that is from Kyle, who says, what color is your underwear? Oh, this is a good question. I want to say blue with a little spotted pattern on it. Hold on, let me check. Can't believe you're making me do this. Hold on, I can pull them up here. Hey, it is. It is a navy blue with light blue spots all over it. So there you go. That is my underwear today. There we go, back in my seat. 42. 42 is from somebody who listens to this podcast. Oh, Kyle, of course. And Kyle says, what's the worst book you've ever read that is considered a classic? And don't say Moby Dick, damn it, because I know you've never actually read that. I know. The worst book I've ever read that is considered a classic. Oh, I don't know off the top of my head, but I don't know. There's so many. Because the problem is there are a lot of classics that I was forced to read in high school and, or even earlier than high school, and many of them I was just too young to really appreciate at the time, especially since I was being forced to read it. Therefore, I didn't give a crap. And so there, for Brave New World, Aldous Huxley, didn't care for it. Animal Farm by George Orwell, just didn't care for it. And these are all books that maybe if I reread them now, I would really, really appreciate them, because there's been other classics that I've read in recent years that I like, but these all just left a bad hit. I said Animal Farm, Brave New World. I liked 1984. I was forced to read that at the same time I read Animal Farm. I liked 1984. I hated Animal Farm. Of Mice and Men. I get Of Mice and Men. I understand. But at the time I read it, didn't care for it. Just didn't. I was being forced to read it and was not in any way excited about it. It's, you know, so hard for me to say, because I don't feel like when I say that it's the worst classic that I've ever read, a lot of times it's that I just wasn't, I wasn't in a position to judge it correctly at that time. I was doing it for a school assignment and therefore doesn't really count. These are some of them that I think if I read them now, I would have a better appreciation for them, but maybe not. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's any others. Most of the Shakespeare we read, I really liked. Canterbury Tales. I don't remember enjoying the Canterbury Tales themselves, but I remember enjoying the idea of them because they're pretty bawdy stories in a lot of cases. It's hard to say. This is not a question I was really prepared. This would make a great topic on the forums, but not one that I'm sure somewhere at the back of my head, I'm sure there's the absolute perfect answer that when someone mentions this book and I'll go, oh God, that's right. I hated that book. And it'll be one that I know not only did I hate it when I read it, but I'll know that, yeah, I hate it now because it's objectively a crappy book. I don't know why that thing's a classic. Catcher in the Rye. But again, I read Catcher in the Rye when I wasn't the person to appreciate Catcher in the Rye. Maybe it really is the piece of genius everyone says it was. I don't know. I hated it. I hated it when I read it. So I don't know. All I can do is pass the buck and say, hey, someone start a thread in Nerd Talk and ask, what's the worst classic that you've ever read that's not Moby Dick? Because no one's ever read Moby Dick. So ask that question. We'll get some better answers. And someone will bring up the right book and I'll go, yep, that's the one. That's the one I hate. 95. Anyone want to take bets on whether or not it's from Kyle? 95. No, it's from Sirius Paul. Sirius Paul says, have I done this one before? Don't know. What do orcs really like to eat? Orcs really like to eat meat, meat of any sort. That is their big, but orcs would really just be, in general, they're hedonists and they would be appreciative of a solid, stereotypical American diet right now. They would love Big Macs. They would love greasy fast food and potato chips. They would love convenience comfort food. I don't know if orcs have a sweet tooth, but I bet they do. Orcs just like stuff that is based on sugar and fat. That is what they like. Sugar, fat, and maybe a little halfling flesh thrown in. You know what? Seriously, halfling McNuggets? Oh, can't keep them away. 26. 26 is DM Darks. Hey, Darks. DM Darks says, have you ever read The Sword... The Swords... Is that a slash? Let me see. Yeah. Read The Swords / Lost Swords series by Fred Saberhagen. If the answer is yes, which one of the Swords of Power would you want to own? I've never read it. I'm sorry. I've seen the books. I know what the covers look like. I've never read them and don't know anything about them. If the answer is no, what artifact-level magical item from fiction would you want to own? It must be featured in a work of fiction and not simply an item out of the DMG or similar game. But God, you guys are making this tough on me. What, do I know artifact-level items other than that? I don't. I can't think. Oh, man. I mean, the One Ring would not be a bad one. Because, yeah, I understand. It's going to corrupt me and turn me evil. That's fine. I mean, because I won't care. Once I'm wearing the ring, once I learn to master it, I will have power over all of creation. I assume that's how the ring works. I don't mind ruling the universe and being a little bit evil, or even a lot evil, because again, once I'm wearing the ring, I don't care anymore. It'll be awesome. Aside from that, I don't know. Is there anything worthwhile about Excalibur? I mean, seriously, a +5 Vorpal sword, really. It's not... I'm having a tough time thinking of artifact-level items other than the One Ring. Oh, I am so bad at this game. Save me. 95. Didn't we just do 95? I think we did. Let's look. Yep, 95. Okay, 63. Back up. And I'm sorry to bail on a question like that. That was cheap of me, but I realized that I was going to sit here forever trying to think of something, and I wasn't going to come up with it. So 63 is from Ronster. Ronster says, what is the meanest thing you have ever done to your brother? He moved away, and I took his girlfriend to prom and then started dating her. There you go. I'm a bad guy. 70. 70s from Billy Bob. Does that require more explanation, by the way? I was a bad person. I got nothing else for it. I apologize. I apologize to my brother for being such a horrible, horrible person. He moved away. I was in college, so I stayed. His girlfriend was a senior in high school at the time, and since they were technically, that's the worst part, they were technically still dating, and therefore she wanted a safe, let's put that in quotes, a safe option to go to the prom with. And so I said, okay, yeah, I'll take you to the prom. That's fine. I can do that since my brother is 1,000 miles away. That's fine. I can do that. And then we wound up at some party after prom. No drinking involved, wasn't drunk, nothing, but we wound up making out, and we dated for just a little bit after that, and nothing really happened, but... Oh, I feel horrible. It was a bad, bad thing. I was a bad person, and I regret that. It was a terrible thing to do to my brother. And I'm very sorry, Kyle. You didn't deserve that. But anyway, enough of that. All right. Anyway, back to number 70, which is – that's not 70. That's 77. I have to look at both dice. Sorry, it was from Billy Bob, but it's not now. 77 is from Ronster again. Ronster says, if you could live one day as any character from any story, who would it be? I want to be Neo. I want to be Neo, hands down. That's just cool. And I'd like to be, yeah, no. Yeah, you want to qualify that? No, I don't want to qualify that. I want to be Neo from towards the end of the first Matrix movie and spend a day with that ability inside the Matrix and skip the sequels. We're not going to debate whether or not they were good. I just want to be Neo. That's one of my favorite movies. That's a great one. Although, speaking of my favorite movies, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't mind being, what was, damn it, why can't I think of this? Tim Allen, Peter Quincy Taggart. I wouldn't mind being Commander Taggart from Galaxy Quest. He was, to actually be living in the world that we're in right now and get pulled away to be on a real spaceship in real outer space, or even, I would even be Justin Long's character from that movie. All right, just to know that it's all real and have that amazing, that you're an obsessive fanboy and the thing that you've been obsessing about your entire life turns out to be true, it's spectacular. That would be a cool one. There's probably some of the good ones, but you know what? I'm going to go with just about anybody from Galaxy Quest, specifically either Tim Allen's character, Peter Taggart, or Peter Quincy Taggart, or Justin Long's character as the obsessed fanboy whose every dream comes true. Either one of those would be awesome. 45. 45 is not visible right now, but there it is. Hey, 45 is from Kyle. Good Lord, Kyle, do you really have that many questions on this list? Kyle says, read the last text message and response on your phone out loud for the podcast audience. And then the follow-up question is, what's that about? All right, hold on. Get out my stupid-ass flip phone. And messages. Inbox. All right. Well, hold on. The last text... See, this is the problem. I have a flip phone, so I don't have them in conversation mode. I have to actually go to my sent folder and then my inbox to look at them separately. But the last messages that I have here are... I've got one from my son Jacob that says, God dang it, I went through my mental list and still forgot my monster. And I don't have a reply to that one, but that was... I had bought him a Monster energy drink while he was here, and then he forgot to have it, so he was going to have it the next morning. Well, then he still forgot to have it, so we set it out for him so that it was right there next to his laundry and everything else so he could take it back with him when he drove back to college, and he still left the damn thing sitting there. So it's in my fridge right now. He's going to have to get it this weekend. At least I hope he remembers it. But then also, the other one is, hello, hope you're feeling better. This is from a gal I work with whose son is in my scout group and also whose son is my 11-year-old's best friend. And she says, hello, hope you're feeling better, because I was deathly ill Monday and Tuesday. I told you about that already. Just wanted you to know that Eli can come home with us Friday for Halloween and stay over. Awesome. And I responded with, that sounds great. And Halloween is tonight. I'm recording on Halloween, and we're going to go out with a big group of kids that are friends with my two younger ones. And afterwards, one of the parents has invited everyone back to their house for pizza. And so they're going to have a pizza party after they go trick-or-treating. And then after the pizza party, then they're going to my son and a couple others are going to head over to another friend's house. And they're going to have a slumber party and hang out all night. So awesome for them. There you go. That's what my messages are about. Nothing shameful. I don't have anything, really. If anyone wanted to grab my phone and flip through the messages, they would be bored to tears after about the first three. So that's just how it works. 35. 35 is... Oh, it's Humongous. Hey, Humongous. Humongous says, have you ever played the 80s game Dark Tower? Yeah, we owned the 80s game Dark Tower, and I remember loving that game, and I can't remember anything about how it worked at all. I remember that there was this complicated board with the electronic tower in the middle, and as we moved, the tower would guide us, respond to us, or we'd have battles that got played out electronically on the tower, or I can't remember how it worked at all. I remember really enjoying it. I remember we were just in love with this thing at the time. I remember taking it with us on vacation to Florida, that when you're in Florida during the summer, during the middle of the day, it gets way too hot, so you go swimming in the morning, and then everyone comes up for lunch, take a nap, and we hang out in the beach cottage for the afternoon, and then eventually around 3 o'clock, you all head back down to the water and spend the rest of the day down there. So during that interim time up at the house, we played some Dark Tower that summer. I remember doing a lot of that, but I don't remember anything about it, except that I really, really enjoyed it. I remember vaguely what it looked like, but I can't remember the rules. I can't remember the win conditions. I don't know anything about it, but it was great. So yeah, I've played it. Number 30. 30 is from Stan. All right, hold on, let me number that. Stan says, do gelatinous soy products benefit or suffer from being called cheese? Gelatinous soy products, so tofu, cheese, fermented bean curd, it doesn't make any difference. There's lots of stuff out there that is cheese, but not real cheese, but it's still called cheese or cheese flavor. It's like, anymore, it's hard to find real chocolate in a lot of the mass-produced candy because it's all chocolate product or chocolate flavored candy, or it's chocolate, but it's not real chocolate. So, gelatinous soy products, I don't think it hurts, because it doesn't affect real cheese, because real cheese is real cheese and it doesn't give a crap what anyone else thinks. These guys, by calling themselves cheese, they make a few extra sales, but they're not fooling everybody. Everybody knows that if you're getting a cheese substitute, you're getting a cheese substitute, and therefore you know what you're in for, and you're just hoping it tastes like cheese. You're just hoping. So it's a lot like, there's a stand-up comic, great. He does a great routine about grapefruit. And it's like, grapefruit, the whole joke is that grapefruit is the nastiest fruit in the world, but somewhere back in the annals of time, it made a deal with a grape that, because everybody loves grapes. Grapes are perfect fruit. And so therefore, it makes a deal with grapes that, hey, can I borrow your name? And maybe people think I'm you. And maybe I can, like, and grapes' response is basically, like cheese would say, what am I going to do, sell less of me? Come on. I'm grapes. People love me. And so, yeah, it doesn't, you know, grapefruit, it is not like you're fooling anybody. Everybody knows you're nasty. Yeah, it's, you can put that in the name or not put it in the name. Everyone knows you suck. So that's just the way it goes. This is going to have to be the last one. All right, number 29. Oh, I'm already at 29. There we go. 29 is from Mrs. Darks. Hey, Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, congrats on the weight loss. Thank you. I appreciate that. Especially, I'm glad I came up with this question on a day when I actually have lost some weight and was happy to report that. Just a second. I need another drink. Man, that took way too long. I should probably edit all that silence out of there. But man, that felt good. All right. Congratulations on the weight loss. Again, good timing. I can only imagine, what if this had sat in the list for another, I don't know, year and a half, and I've ballooned up to 350, and congratulations on your weight loss. Oh, screw you, Mrs. Darks. But thank you very much. And she says, I'm working on that myself. I haven't seen pictures of you, so I can't comment. Normally, when someone tells me that they're trying to lose weight, I can then look at them and judge whether my response should be, oh, you don't need to lose weight, or, oh, really? But I can't. I don't know what you look like, so I can't make that judgment. But hey, if you feel that it's healthy for you and that's what you want, oh, I guess you did just have a baby. Maybe you're just losing baby weight. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I don't know why I'm delving into your personal life. What, if anything, do you do to work out? Okay, this is what I tell everybody. The secret to my weight loss is that I cut my calories. All right, I just try and eat less, and I say I'm going to exercise. That is my entire plan. I eat less and tell people I'm going to exercise. There you go. So the inference there is I don't really work out much. What I do is when I'm – and I can feel I'm getting to that point again. The weight loss has kicked in again. I'm actually really energized at work. I'm really energized here at the podcast, even though maybe it's just a reaction to just getting over being sick. I don't know what it is. But I've got a lot of energy, and I can feel that, okay, the working out is going to start. And all I ever do is I walk on the treadmill. I have so many podcasts to listen to that when I get in the swing of things and I think I'm just about, you know what, now that you've said something, I'm going to try and do it this weekend and see if I can kick it in this week that I can actually do maybe twice a week, three times a week. I get on the treadmill and I'll do a half hour on the treadmill, sometimes more, sometimes less. But I have all these podcasts to listen to, so I get on the treadmill, pop in a podcast, and I entertain myself. So I'm getting something productive done by listening to these podcasts, and I get some good exercise, and I feel great about myself when I do it. But walking is all I've ever done. Used to be the tunnels at work used to be open for employees, and so we had tunnels that even though we no longer had a whole campus, we still had the tunnels that went under the entire campus, and you could walk all the way around from where we were to where the abandoned veterans home is, all the way over to where the old powerhouse was, and then you turn around and you walk back, and by the time you've made the full, there's one part where you have to double back, so you do the vets home to the powerhouse twice, and then you walk back to my building, and that would be 1 mile. And so I for a long time would go down on break twice a day, so you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd head down, I'd walk 1 mile over break, get the mile done in my 15 minutes, boom, I'm back in my office. And so I was just walking 2 miles a day, and it was awesome, really awesome. But then the tunnels have fallen into disrepair, and they finally locked them away. They built a new powerhouse, and so they've kind of sealed off the rest of the stuff. It's a shame, because they were an awesome place to walk. You knew that no matter what time of year it was, it would be a nice, comfortable walking temperature in the tunnels. As opposed to, really, you can't walk in the summer, because in the summer it gets too hot and you're going to come back in sweating like crazy. And you can't walk in the winter because, well, it's freezing outside and there's snow everywhere. So really, I've got maybe 6 months out of the year that I can walk. And it doesn't work out at work. It's hard to get into a regular rhythm. But the treadmill at home, I have a very nice treadmill. The kids use it all the time. And they really do. It's weird. And I enjoy walking on the treadmill. It's time to get back into it. I will start doing that right away. And beef barley soup. I can't say that often enough. The beef barley soup is awesome. So, but yeah, it's really, and not that you asked about my diet in particular, but I get up and I have a couple hundred calories for breakfast and I try and make it something relatively healthy. I mean, and for some reason I find that if I have milk in the morning, if I have just one cup of milk in the morning, for some reason, my weight loss is better during that day, regardless of what else I eat. There's something good about having milk for my body. I swear by it. And maybe it's all anecdotal, but I swear by it. And so I have, you know, a little something with some milk and a couple hundred calories for breakfast. Great. And then I try and have a small lunch. Lately, it's been the beef barley soup. I'm going to try and keep doing that. But quite often, it's just leftovers from the night before. We get done eating. And so, like, you know, earlier this week we had spaghetti. So we get done with the spaghetti. Everyone's had their fill. Good. I break out the Tupperware containers and I just portion out the spaghetti into lunch portions that are, I make big lunch portions for the big kids. And then I make little lunch portions for me and my wife. So I get like 300 to 400 calories in a serving and I just seal them up. And then that way we have, after we're done eating, we have like 6 to 8 containers worth of stuff in there that, okay, we've got lunches for the next couple days. The kids got snack food. Awesome. Off we go. And so that's my lunch. And then I try and be reasonable for supper. And if I'm going to snack, I try and snack on something that is relatively healthy. I try and stay away from sugar as much as humanly possible. I try not to snack on candies and other stuff. I try not to snack on starches, potato chips and things. Because potato chips, if there are chips available, it's so easy to go in and say, just a handful of chips, great, and I'll have like 3 or 4, and it's only, you know, 15 calories. It's not going to hurt anything. But the minute I eat a little, you can't eat just one. Suddenly, I'm starving. Suddenly, after I've had that one tiny little handful of chips, which is perfectly reasonable as a snack, and now suddenly, the rest of the night I'm starving to death. It makes me just that little bit of fat and salt makes me crave fat and salt. And I can't, it's so hard to stay away from it after that. So I try to avoid that first dip into the chips because I know that once I do, it'll be that much harder the rest of the night. And that's really about it. I mean, I've been trying to stay away from sugar. I've been trying to stay away from fat. But, you know, mostly it's just keeping my calories to a reasonable amount. Less than 2,000 a day. There you go. That's what I do. So, all right, that was really, really boring. I'm sorry. I mean, started off well with my exercise, but once I start talking about my food, nobody wants to hear about my food. You hate it when people do that at work. Why would I do that to you here? I should edit that out, but you know I won't. Instead, I am just going to leave it to, what's her name, GLaDOS, to recap this episode for me.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2014 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week is Weezer's in the Garage and Wonderful World by Sam Cooke. All of these songs are available on iTunes. You check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't include them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, then, all right, see, this is my new part of the credits. I'm not very good at it. Let me start this line over. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, then spread the word and let other people enjoy it. There, and that's, I put that in the credits because that's really, if you want to do something nice for this podcast, that's really what you can do for me. Just spread the word. Get people in. Get people listening. Don't forget to check out all the free games I have available on my free games page. Instant Game, Animal Ball Melee, Sandbox Hill, 2/3 of a dozen others, all free, all the time. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com, and I promise I will actually respond to you. Or you can find me on Twitter, where my handle is @nerdprideradio, or even check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But, to be totally honest, the very best way to talk to me is to come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. You sign up there, you send me a message, we will hang out together, be best friends in the world, we'll have fun. And welcome to the Nerd Pride Radio After Party. This is where I go back and I read any comments that people have left me while I'm recording this podcast. I put up a thread that says I'm recording episode 67. What do you want me to say? And now, hold on, let me post a reply. Aw, there's only one comment in here. This is so disappointing. Let's go, done recording. There we go. I always want to make sure I close this out because I always have this fear that I'm going to start reading these, and then right after I'm done reading them, I'm going to look and realize that someone posted before I could close it, and then I'll feel bad that I didn't get their stuff in. But the only comment here this time is from Kyle, and Kyle says, the Nerdcast After Party sucks. Oh, well, okay. But I think specifically he's talking the name Nerdcast After Party sucks. Let's call it Left Behind, Comments from the Edge of the Pod-O-Matic. That rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it? Ugh, this is rough. You know what? I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of After Party, but it was the only suggestion given to me when I was asking for suggestions. And now you're only pitching in because now that the choice has been made for you, you decide you don't like it. So, you know what? I think I'm just going to go back to listener betrayal. If we can't, I like listener betrayal. There's a good story behind it. And so this, ladies and gentlemen, is listener betrayal. And then that's it. Then it says done recording. So I guess this was a short one. Yeah. Tune in next time. Say goodnight, R2. Now, you know what? That one was too short. Since R2 said goodnight and gave me a number while he was doing it, I'm just gonna go ahead and look that one up because I gotta give you something more than just that. That was really disappointing to end this. So, he has given me number 37. Hold on. I have to get my Pod-O-Matic list back up. I had closed things because I thought I was done. All right. This is bonus material. Number 37 is from Mrs. Darks again. And Mrs. Darks says, would you rather have Adam Savage or Jamie Hyneman as a BFF? Adam Savage. Clearly Adam Savage. He's the fun one. Bonus question. What do you think about the build team being cut from the show? If you don't watch Mythbusters, I don't really think we can be friends. Oh, of course I watch Mythbusters. I love Mythbusters. In fact, not only do I love Mythbusters, but every single one of my children loves Mythbusters with me, and we all watch together. I have not seen enough of the recent stuff to realize that, oh, they cut the build team? Really? They're just gone? That seems disappointing. Do you mean the build team is completely gone and they're back to working on stuff together? Because it used to be that, you know, Jamie and Adam would work on one myth, the build team would work on another myth, and they'd kind of alternate the two throughout the show until we got to the big climax of both of them. Are you saying the build team is just completely gone? Like they're not even on the show anymore? Because that would suck. Because I really like the build team. I mean, Cary Grant and Tori, that's I love them. Oh, that would suck. Hold on. All right, now let me put you on pause so I can go take a look. Holy crap! They fired him. Why would they do that? Yeah, Cary Grant and Tori are just plain gone. When was the announcement made? The announcement was made at the end of last night's episode, and that would have been in August. So it's been a couple months, and I haven't been paying attention. So. I guess you guys are finding out the news right about now. After a decade on Mythbusters, we are no longer with the show. Thank you to all the fans who've supported us. The show is taking a new direction. It was an amazing run. Oh, that's sad. I mean, I'm going to guess, it doesn't say why, but I'm going to guess that, you know, Mythbusters was the show for the Discovery Channel for a long time, and now it's on the downhill slide. So I'm going to guess that it's just retooling because they can't really afford that much anymore. But I don't know. I'm really sad. That is horrifying. So, yeah, to answer your first question, Adam Savage would definitely be my preference for a BFF if I had the two of them available to me. I get that Jamie is generally smarter and more capable when it comes to stuff, but Adam is a lot more fun. Adam would be great to hang out with. Jamie, I think, would get on my nerves after a while. So, and I can't believe they got rid of the build team. I'm crushed. What a horrible way to end an episode. I'm so sad. This is terrible. Oh, anyway, let's say goodnight again, R2. So sad.